All right, Mark and I are back together talking about discipleship. And we're going to talk about today, like the goal of discipleship. What are we trying to reach? What are we trying to become through this training, through this practice, through this discipleship? And today, I want us to start with Jesus' invitation. Matthew 4:19. Jesus says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So be someone who follows me, who practices under who disciples to me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I really want us to focus in on the "I will make you." Because he gives the call to relationship, to commitment. Come, commit yourself, follow me, do what I do, practice what I practice, live how I live, and I will make you.
Yeah, he's also going to teach us his way. So he will be making us. And it's not going to be my achievement, my specialness, that it's his specialness, it's his way, and I will follow him in humility and will be willing to give up anything having to do with any kind of selfishness. And I'll be open, because of what he's done for me, I'll be open to following him.
It is invitation to transformation by following him.
Yeah.
By being with him. And I think that's the most important part, is spending time with him.
Yeah.
Abiding in him. If we're not, we can't do anything. And I want us to notice first just how the emphasis here is on how Jesus will make us.
Yes.
He says, "I will make you." And then he gives the mission, fishers of men, disciples. But I really want us to focus in on that transformation. I will make you. What is it that he wants to make us into?
Yeah, the word that comes to me, first of all, is love. I don't think that we would understand his love unless he affected us with his love. Our experience of receiving his blessing and love, I think, is one way he teaches us. So I don't think this is something that I decide to do, and therefore I read the steps I need to take to do it. I think it's how I've been affected by him, by the power of his love and his spirit, and how I'm drawn to that. And therefore, I'm really pulled into his mission and life, his life, his death and resurrection. I'm drawn right into that by him.
It always starts with his call. That's always the first step in this relationship of discipleship. The first step is always his call. Come. He takes the first step,
and he
leads the entire way. Because it's never going to be about what I've made myself to be, how obedient I've been, how virtuous I've been. It's never going to be about how good I am. It's always going to be about what he's done, the person that he's made.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that, because it makes me realize that he's the one who is doing the calling. So if we're becoming like him, if we're becoming fishers of men because he has drawn us, then we simply must take the first step for Jesus with people who don't know him. Just give them an opportunity for that first step. It doesn't have to be harsh. It doesn't have to be in a with a mindset that we are all-knowing. Not at all. It's just
whether we're going to have any degree of real growth here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we are just planting the seed.
Right.
Or maybe watering the seed.
It's just planting the seed and even watering it. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much to be said for that mission to make other disciples.
And you said it yourself at other times where Jesus told his disciples that he was the vine and they were the branches. They need him in order to bear fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, they need to be connected to him with other disciples. Mm-hmm. And that it has to start with a cleansing within. It has to start with, I think, a change that's been affected within me to then give me any degree of urgency or hope with reaching out to other people.
Yes.
And making more disciples.
Yes.
But even when he asked these disciples, because it's always in pairs, it's always in groups, when he asked these disciples to go together and use this authority, use this power that I've blessed you with, they stumble and fumble, and they still need to spend more time with the teacher to learn about this power and how it works. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the boy with unclean spirit, where they'd be given power and authority over unclean spirits, and they can't cast out an unclean spirit. Yeah. And Jesus has to tell them, he has to further teach them. We can't wait for like perfect obedience, perfect goodness, perfect virtue to like begin this practice, like following Jesus. We have to continue to learn from him, but we have to step forward. Mm-hmm. We have to act on our faith.
Yeah. We have to dedicate ourselves. We have to yearn for godliness. We have to understand and realize who was I before and who am I now that I've been recreated? Mm. And whose am I?
Mm-hmm.
So we act on his behalf with his power, his love and grace, and we allow him to work through us.
Yeah, and I think that will cause us to become like what this goal is of discipleship. Because the goal, what he wants to make us into, is reflections of God, mm-hmm. reflections of himself, of Jesus, an image of God's Son, what it looks like for a human to embody godliness. I think we're talking about it in terms of humility, you know, very heavily right now, like that this all comes from God. This all comes from somebody above me. And for Jesus to subject himself to that humility, not just tell us to, but like show us what it looks like. Mm-hmm. He can get the disciples then involved with like, okay, how about this blind beggar on the roadside? Call him. And the disciples go and like, hey, he's calling you. And helping others see the call of Jesus in their life. 'Cause that's the only place it's going to start. That's the only place anything grows is being called by God.
Right.
And he calls to us all. Like, it's not just Moses that he calls to. He knows all of us personally. Even if we don't know him, he knows us by name. He knows you.
Yes.
And he's calling to you.
Uh-huh. So who am I, having been called? Am I my old self?
Mm.
If I'm my old self, if I didn't change, my old self is going to resist touching others' lives like mine supposedly was touched.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm converted And if I have received the greatest of gifts, then I'm willing to at least plant a seed for him to help and support the mission of my Lord.
And I think first we have to recognize that this is a process within ourselves. Hopefully, yes. Hopefully we're still growing and becoming more Christ-like. Mm-hmm. It's not instant. You know, it's a process, a gradual process of growth, like any plant, any branch that grows on a vine.
Yes.
It's a process of growth within ourselves first, but also within those that we are trying to help see. He's calling you. Mm-hmm. Jesus is calling you. Yeah. We have to be patient with God's growth.
Right. And we have to believe in it as well. We have to believe that when we're reaching out to people, that God is reaching out to them. He truly is. And so if we trust in that, then we'll follow through with the essence of that, which is the godliness of that.
Mm. I think that's it. It will produce, like, finding that in Jesus, not because I obey, not because I'm virtuous or I'm good. It will produce that.
Yes.
Like, if we're becoming more like Jesus, mm-hmm. it will produce that through consistent obedience and total dependence on the image we're trying to become.
Yes.
Without a proper reflection of that, without that image, like, we are apart from him, we can do nothing.
Right. But if we do have him, if we are not apart from him, but we are with him, then we should be amazed that all things could be accomplished with him.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's where your attachment to God just grows. And your growth from God you grow. And it produces the fruit of the Spirit, like living that kind of life, a life of love and a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of patience, a life of kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Hmm. And there's so much more to add on to that.
Yes.
A life of obedience, of surrender, a life of sacrifice, a life of service, a life of giving. But it's Jesus' life that's mm-hmm. being produced and grown within you and me as disciples. That's the goal.
Yes. It's the blessing also.
Yes, yes.
It's the greatest gift.
Yeah.
It's the greatest abundance in the universe and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, and like all plants, it takes time, pruning, seasons of waiting. It's not always real flashy, but it is very faithful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And if we know what we have, and we're faithful, and we're at peace in living our life, at peace, and we are assured in what we have, then it's a joyful, hopeful life. It's a life of hope, looking forward to what's going to be because we trust in what God's promises.
Mm-hmm. And I think you brought this up to me last night, maybe yesterday afternoon. You brought it to me twice yesterday, actually, and I'm glad you did. Because now you remind me of it today. This is from Luke 17, verse 7. I think it gets us here. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he comes in from the field, come, recline at the table? Would you not rather say to him, to this servant that just came in from plowing your sheep, mm-hmm. wouldn't you rather say to your servant, prepare supper for me, dress properly, serve me while I eat and drink, and then afterward you'll eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you've done all that you were commanded, say, we're unworthy servants. Mm-hmm. We've only done what was our duty.
Yeah.
Like, this is where we'll find, I mean, satisfaction, fulfillment, a sense of, like, purpose that is outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. It's about something bigger than you.
Exactly. That's the key right there. We've been given everything, and it is so much bigger and better than ourselves that we will serve that the goal of that life, that great gift of life, because we are merely unworthy servants, but we've been given the keys to the kingdom.
And isn't that worthy of, like, this ongoing exchange of my will for his will?
Yes.
Like, that's what allows us to let go of ourselves during this transformation, this gradual, you know, like, transformation is not instant. But, like, the daily part matters. It's not a one-time surrender. Like, we should always be exchanging our will for his.
Yeah. And why not do it his way? He is God, and he knows what's best.
Yeah, it comes with a cost. There is a cost to discipleship. Mm-hmm. But it's the only life worth investing in.
Yeah. That's the cost of Christianity, because what we're giving up is our own power, which is pretty worthless in actuality. But we are giving up our desire to be the God of our own life. And we will fail miserably if that's the goal of our lives. But if we go to the life that God has created for us, because we are his creation and he knows what is great and wondrous, we're not losing, we're gaining.
A hundredfold.
Yeah.
A hundredfold. Now and in the age to come. Because this is a life of joy and peace. Like, this is the life worth living. And I want to go back to something you brought up earlier that I think is important to state again. Just the necessity of community. The disciples aren't disciples in isolation. Disciples are disciples in community, mm-hmm. discipling with other followers.
Yeah.
That is the only format that we see given to us. It's always, at least with somebody else, practicing this, following this.
When we see God in someone else, it is such an encouragement.
Mm.
It is such a powerful and beautiful thing.
It gives us so much encouragement and support and opportunities for correction so that we become more like this image that we mm-hmm. behold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a necessity.
Yes.
Is
yes.
doing this in community.
Right. It is. Church is made the way it is by God because we need it. Mm-hmm. And it is the growth of God. The church is the temple of God. It's the growth of God. It's the expression of God on this earth.
Yeah, I mean, true growth. True growth. I'm thinking of Ephesians 4. Is a body being built up. No one becomes like Jesus alone. We're a body being built up into Christ, growing every way into him. We have to have people to practice these ways of Jesus with. Especially giving, serving.
Yes.
Maybe like the core of the grace of God that Jesus came not to serve, and not to be served, but to serve and to give.
Mm-hmm.
To give his life as a ransom. And, like, that's who we're following after. That's who we're trying to be like.
Yes.
Somebody who comes not to be served, but to serve and to give.
And part of our transformation is not just serving the Lord. That's so much, though, but it's the yielding to others in His name and others who have His name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's some different ways to practice. Like if you just wanted to practice today, like right now, I would say like, behold the image that you want to become. Hmm. You have to spend serious time with the image you want to be like.
Yes.
With the thing you want to become.
Yes.
With the person you want to be. Mm-hmm. You have to spend time with Jesus, beholding Him in all of His glory.
Yeah. What do we put in our hearts? What do we want to expand in our spirits and in our souls and in our hearts? Mm-hmm. So that's what we focus on and live for.
I would also encourage, like, the next time you pray, like today, the next time you pray, like practice surrender, an exchange of self-reliance for just dependence on God and His Spirit and His Son. Instead of your prayer being about who you are, whether for better or worse, you know, pray about who He is and what He's done. And pray on behalf of that. just find a way to intentionally put your dependence upon God and what He's done in Jesus just in a state of helplessness, instead of relying upon the commands that you've kept or how virtuous you have been today.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I needed to hear it for sure, and I hope everyone who hears this realizes that they do too. For we truly are deluding ourselves if we think that we are not helpless in this life, because this life could end in an instant for us. This life could go south very quickly for us, and we need to recognize who is the reality of this life. It's Jesus Christ and God our Father and the Spirit of truth, and we need to attach to them, to our God.
I think finding a way to be in community as soon as possible will help with that.
Yes.
Just to have a conversation with you know, where you're at, what you're thinking, maybe even with like listening to this conversation. But find somebody to like do this with, because you can't, you're not supposed to, you're not intended to do this on your own.
Yes. Yes. They can affect you.
They'll help shape you into that image.
Yes. And you can affect them. Mm.
Yep. And the most powerful way of doing that is reflecting Jesus. After you behold the image and pray based on His image, and try to be helped to become that image and help others become that image, mm-hmm. in community. Reflect it. Like, let others see it living and active and changing you. That's the most powerful testimony, witness you can give.
And that's the relationship, the giving and the taking with your Lord Jesus. It's who you will be and how He will be there with you, for you.
Yeah. So what we're going to do next, in our next episode, we're going to look at barriers barriers of discipleship? What is potentially impeding our way, our path of following Jesus?
Sounds wonderful. Can't wait.